Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 117, recording on December 6, 2020. That is right. It is 117. Last week's episode was our Negative World Doesn't Really Count in the Canon episode. It's the book. It's the Star Wars novels that Disney bought and then burned. You know, it's did it even happen? Who knows? Maybe. Maybe not. But for right now, Christmas is upon us, you guys. We're in December. And with Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas with You in full effect, we're going to discuss some Christmas movies. We're going to do some Mandalorian talk. Finally! God damn it, we're getting into some Mandalorian talk. Everyone is in lockstep, and we are ready to talk up to the last entry into the Mandalorian saga. You know, it's funny. We gave Justin a hard time, and I think Megan took pity on him because she let him breathe upon his PS5 and the controller, or her PS5, sorry, and the controller to play some next-gen games. So we're going to hear about that and a lot more. And to do that, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon per the outline Moore.
How are you doing? Did you send me the outline? I didn't get it in my email.
I'm convinced you don't. Shannon. I'm convinced you never open your email. It's just like, it's just, he logs into his Gmail and it's like 2,687 unread messages.
It's like after three attempts of not knowing the password, he's like, I don't want to actually like do forgot the password and go through all that, so I'll just forget it.
Yeah. No. Meanwhile, like, my Gmail inbox got the outline at least four times.
So. I know. Well, I mean, that's the kind of the reason why I did it, right? Because like Justin sent it and I got it in a thumbnail in the text message. So I opened it up and I actually got it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But then, you know, it wouldn't be a podcast if I went a week without actually saying, can you resend it? Or I didn't get it in my mailbox. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I sent it to Justin like as a joke, kind of saying like, because I thought he would have seen the thumbnail in the text message thread. And then I, you know, I was just joking around, and then it became this thing where I said, well, let's see how ridiculous I can get before he just says, fuck you, Shannon, and doesn't like respond anymore. And it went like, you know, it went like three or four times, and then I just ran out of things to, you know, get more ridiculous with. I would have thought sitting on a bidet eating a piece of crispy bacon would have been like the limit for him, but yeah, just still sent it.
We'll see.
The other co-host on the show, Mr. Justin Time Carter, has that level of range. Justin,
I do. You know, I tried to, after you sent that, I tried to send a picture of burnt bacon, like, attached with the outline, but Google wouldn't accept it. So I settled for the alternative. I took your email, and I signed it up for about 20 or 30 different newsletters on the internet, including but not limited to Bad Dragon, propaganda, 24-hour fitness was a good one. I had to actually put in some of your details there to get you that one. So, and I was like, those do not go away. Like, you will receive so many of them.
Sounds like I need to update my spam filter.
Yeah.
I want to add a little padding to that spam filter.
Chance going through, then he's like, ooh, he's like, wait a minute. And then you're going to find stuff you're interested in, and then it's going to totally fuck the algorithm up.
Well, you know. I had a doctor's appointment recently, and before the COVID outbreak, my BMI index was at like 20%, so I was doing pretty good, like health-wise, like, you know, for my weight. Mm-hmm. I just got another one done, and it is now 30%. Wow. So I've been indulging in this COVID time of laziness.
Is it possible you got shorter? So that skewed your numbers.
Maybe.
I blame Mike Miller. I think every time he posts a picture of something in the Discord, your cholesterol goes up a little bit.
Yeah, I think Mike Miller is single-handedly responsible for Shannon's ruined health. I think. He's just sending him sugar in cans via mail, you know, like.
It's like a letter and you open it, it's just loose Skittles floating around in the envelope.
I regret nothing. That's all I have to say. None of it.
Loose Skittles floating in open pixie sticks. You know? Like, it's so good. And I also love that you regret nothing. That's
none of it. I'm fairly certain that when, like, you know, this whole thing like finally dies down and we're able to resume our natural lives, that I can get back to the gym and lose that 10%. You know, I mean, I mean, maybe not, but you know, who knows? Maybe this is my new body and I just got to get used to it.
It's hard to, you know, do push-ups and sit-ups when you're not paying money to do them. I get it.
You know, like sometimes you need the carrot on the stick, and as stupid as it sounds, you know, if I feel that I'm invested in it, then I do need to do it. But if I feel I can get it for free, definitely less motivated.
Yeah,
I mean, some weird way I get it. In some weird way I get it. It's like, no, I'm paying money for this. I need to do this. I understand. At the same time, like, half the things you're paying money for are free. That's kind of weird.
I was like, Shannon's game of the year next year is going to be Ring Fit Adventure.
I kind of want that, to be honest.
It's fun. I mean, when I played it, it was fun.
Yeah. Like, it looks dumb in all the right ways, if that makes sense.
So, I got a fitness game for the Oculus Quest 2. Mm-hmm. And I have used it, but I do sweat a lot, and I don't know if you guys have seen the Quest 2, but it's got like a foam, like piece that goes around the eyes, so like you know the hard plastic doesn't like cut into your face. Sure. And dude, that thing, like, I'm so worried about that thing getting like nasty and moldy and gross, and I'm just like, how do I wash this?
They have to be able to sell replacement parts for that, right?
You figured they would. Like, I would. Yeah. But you know, I don't know. I haven't checked it out. Like, I just found out that like the Joy-Cons actually have AA batteries in them that power them. They don't like recharge. So, you know.
I mean, why don't you just take like a grocery bag and cut like eyes and a mouth hole, and then just wear that over your head, and then put the Oculus over that. To have like a little plastic barrier between you and the Oculus.
It's like, you know, you it's a fixed, like, you know, if I put the plastic bag on, like, it would be stuck to my face. So if the mouth hole moved where I wouldn't be able to breathe, then I would be like strangulating myself. You know, just
calm down, Michael Hutchinson. Just back off a little. The more important piece I think we've all learned today is Shannon will spend hundreds of dollars on a piece of kit without doing any research on it. Like, that's what I've learned today. It's like, oh wait, these things take batteries? What?
Well, I thought it was gonna be rechargeable, and then when like I pulled it out, and then like I pulled the little sticker out, and then it just started working. I was like, okay, well, how do I get in here? And then I forgot about it until I needed to put a battery in it.
Yeah. I mean, my assumption would be that it would be rechargeable, because outside of the Xbox One, what the hell takes regular batteries anymore? And, you know, the Xbox One came out in, what, like 2013? So that was a while ago. Yeah, that seems strange that they would go, like, regular, not just have a USB-C connection or something in there. But
I know, right? Like, you have one cable, just, like, you know, freaking charge everything up with the one cable. It would make sense.
They made, like, an under-the-table deal with Duracell. Like, right. We'll pay you to not use USB Type-C.
They're like, okay, but we're not using a, like, what was the what's the weird one? It's like double A, triple A, the single A batteries. We're not using single A's.
Oh, like, the watch
batteries.
That's
where I draw like the line.
The flat discs.
Yeah.
Slide in like Pez. Yeah.
That's where we draw the line.
Hey, you want to introduce yourself?
Nah. Okay. Good.
Cool. All right.
Hey, everyone. I'm Zach Anderson, host of Pixel Life. How you doing? Thank you, Shannon, for reminding me. What are we, 15 minutes in now and I haven't said my name?
Well, so, we got on this diatribe about me, like, you know, and all my, like, weird eccentricities. So, like, you know, I just was letting that play out before, you know.
It's our usual open. Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Shannon's like, all right, time to deflect.
Yeah. So wait, how is everyone's like holiday, Thanksgiving? Have we shifted full into Christmas mode? Has everyone gotten their stuff up and running? Are we in full Christmas cheer around here?
Yeah, dude. Like, I have my girlfriend's house all done up, like, with all of the Christmas lights. We put some archways out in front, so that people can walk through it, kind of like a winter wonderland. It's great. Nice. My parents just got their setup done today, which was awesome because, you know, I brought my son over and he went like crazy on like all of their decorations. Mm-hmm. So we are in full effect. Like, I, not to brag, but it is 3 weeks before Christmas, and all my Christmas shopping is done. So I'm enjoying, I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of this Christmas season. Justin, how about you?
Dude, so my house is not decorated. I will probably be putting the tree up, like, I don't know. If it was up to me, I'd be putting it up, like, the week of Christmas. I was like, we might put it up sooner, but it's just with four dogs and a fucking cat. It's like, man, like, nothing's going under it until Christmas Eve, like, anyway. But I'm just like, man, like, I don't want them, like, knock over the tree. Like, last year, dogs were trying to steal ornaments and, like, take them outside. So I'm just like, man, it's, like, such a fucking hassle. But all my Christmas shopping is also done, which is very nice. A lot of my gifts were through Etsy this year. So I'm, like, hoping that, you know, stuff actually shows up on time. This year, I know some stuff shifts, but I'm like, man, so hopefully I get everything in time for Christmas. But what about you, Zach?
You bring up a really good point, because I like to support the small business, the single business owner, like all that stuff, like that Etsy really happens to celebrate and push very hard. But man, I've been burned by Etsy so many times, just not getting shit when, like things, and I always get it eventually. But never when I'm supposed to, you know, and it's like, and then you're going back and forth and writing emails and I need it by this, you know, especially Christmas time. It's like, I need it by the 20th. And it's like, oh, well, I tried to get there by the 22nd and that's not good enough. And you know, like it goes back and forth. And I've gotten very gun shy using Etsy once I'm within a month of Christmas. Yeah. Like it's hard, you know?
It's hard to find the right balance too, because like some people on Etsy are like, yeah, I could do that for you. It's going to be like $500. And you're like, whoa, dude, like all I wanted was like this little tchotchke thing. Like, why is it so expensive? And they're like, well, I got to hand make it. And then you like on the other side, there's like the dude who'll do it for like $10, $20. And then like it looks, you know, like my 3-year-old son did it in an art class. And you're just like, dude, like, why did it take so long?
Another very good point. Etsy is the perfect you get what you pay for with Etsy. I've never felt like I've gotten cheated by paying a higher amount for something, even though it might take a little longer or something. But I have definitely felt like I've been cheated by paying a lesser amount on Etsy. You know, like, say for your example, if something's $50 on one thing and then like a similar item is like $5 on another. Yeah, that $5 is wasted. Like, I might as well have set that $5 on fire. You know, like, it's, but as far as Christmas goes around here, we are in full Christmas tilt. Tree is up, lights, ornaments. We have the 8-foot-tall T-Rex in the front yard, now has a Santa coat and is holding a string of lights. He's a multi-holiday celebratory animal. We push a pro Tyrannosaurus agenda around here.
I was like, Shannon's jack-o'-lantern that he carved for Halloween has a Santa hat on it and a bunch of candy canes hanging out of its mouth. The it's most, rotting to death on the front
the
door.
Most the most 2020 of holiday decorations.
Please let me die.
Never. you do not deserve the sweet release of death. But yeah, no, it's good. I'm feeling festive. I mean, it's a shitty year. The Bay Area is going in full lockdown mode yet again, which I'm waiting to, you know, either get fired or something when my boss decides he's not shutting down, because hey, that's what we do. but anyway, and yeah, so you gotta take those little joys where you can get them, you know. And man, I've just had like the Rat Pack Christmas music on, Charlie Brown Christmas music, kids watching the Grinch, old 60s cartoon, like over and over and over and over and over again. I'm just like, keep it rolling, just keep that train moving. Like, yeah, and just thank God it isn't the Ice Age holiday special yet again, because if I see that goddamn mammoth one more time.
Dude, that sounds like my house. Like, as soon as Thanksgiving ended, dude, Megan's been playing Christmas movies. Like, we've blown through all 3 Santa Claus movies. We've seen both Home Alones. Fucking, I've seen The Grinch. all three Grinches. So Benedict Cumberbatch Grinch, the original animated Grinch, and then Jim Carrey's Grinch so many fucking times. Like, the one night, I'm like, what do you want to watch? And Megan's, like, sitting there looking at me. I'm like, please don't say the fucking Grinch, man. She's like, the Grinch. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to go do dishes. Like, I'm fucking done. Like, I can only watch him steal Christmas so many times, man.
The Jim Carrey one's pretty bad. Like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I like the Benedict Cumberbatch one.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
That's one I can tolerate multiple times. But, like, I always wonder what happens to the dad in that one, right? Like, single mom, like, taking care of, like, three kids, and, like, she works nights. Like, you know, I'm just like,
it's a pretty small little town. Like, everyone seems to know her business, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, she's getting on the bus, and, like, 18 different people are like, yo, what's up, Carol? How you been? And she's like, you know, so it's like, where'd the dad go?
He's, like, off in the Whoville version of Florida with his secretary. Yeah,
totally. That's one thing I also wondered, like, in Whoville, is it just, like, snowing all the time? Like, are they just, like, in some desolate, snowy wasteland?
You only see Whoville in Christmas time. Like, has there been other Seuss-related stories that take place in Whoville that aren't Christmas?
They just see it in December, and, like, July, they have their version of the Purge, where they, like, take each other out.
It's the Whoville Midsummer Festival that really gets... goes really, really south. But I agree with you. I like that. I was very pleasantly surprised by that movie. I thought it was going to be the hottest of dog shit when my kids were like, let's watch The Grinch. And I'm like, oh God, just having, you know, Nom-like flashbacks of how horrible the Jim Carrey one was. And it might have been the drugs I was on and I saw it. Who knows? But this movie actually was pretty funny. I liked the fat reindeer. What's it, Frank? Mm-hmm. Oh, me and Frank, we're boys. My spirit animal, Frank. but no, I was with it. I was on board with it.
The only thing I didn't like about it is the they kind of shoehorn like the rap music in there, and it doesn't really fit. But other than that, like, yeah, who doesn't want to see the Grinch in pink spandex doing squats?
It was very ridiculous me or Despicable Me,
mm-hmm.
where the, you know, Pharrell did the whole soundtrack for it, and it felt mm-hmm. very reminiscent of that. Mm-hmm. My favorite part of the Illumination Grinch, though, is you see him get on with some tidy whities or get out of bed with some tidy whities on, and then puts on pants that just look like the rest of his fur. And it's one of those like, wait, so you're wearing pants this whole time? Like, what the hell? I was very perplexed, but I decided to roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think seeing it so many times now, I'm starting to ask questions about the Grinch. Like, why is he alone all the time? Like, where did his parents go? Like, how come he was just out in the, like, the cold, like, every time they're doing something? And why didn't the people in Whoville, like, you know, try to include him when he was younger? I just don't get it.
So this is, we're going to tackle these questions, these hard questions, a little later, because I when we talk best and worst holiday movies, I've got one that I need to run by you guys that I watched last night, mm-hmm. and I've got issues, but okay. we will talk soon about that. In the meantime, I've danced around this long enough. Justin, you have had your hands on the next generation, the current generation now.
Yeah. The future of gaming
is now in Arizona. So please regale us. We've all been waiting to hear. How's the PS5?
I love it. It's the only thing I hate about it is like the main menu. Like, I do not like that just because I'm used to, say, like the PS4, but like to power it off, I'm used to, you know, you hold down on the middle button for the PlayStation. Same with the Xbox. Mm-hmm. You hold down on the middle button, the menu comes up to actually turn the console off or whatever, but that doesn't do it. Like, it doesn't work the same on the PS5. You push the button once, you just tap it once, and then it brings up like a little bottom tray menu, and then you go all the way to the right, and then it's like, oh, like power off or sleep mode or whatever. But I'm like, every other console, it's just been like hold the power button and then you can shut it off. Yeah. And this one, I was like, why? Like, why is this better? Like, it's not. But the controller's great. And when I talk about the games I've been playing, one of them uses the controller to its fullest capability, and it's super dope. But it feels real nice. So this one holds a pretty good charge. Like, I played it all week for, like, you know, a few hours every night, like, whatever, and I've only charged it, like, once.
So the thing I've seen about the controller, I've read a lot about it, I've heard a lot about it, but the thing I'm having trouble finding information, like, weight-wise, is it a heavy controller? Like, is it weight similar to a DualShock 4? Or?
Yeah, it feels maybe, like, slight, like, very slightly heavier than, like, a DualShock 4. But for the most part, it feels about the same. Like, I don't think it's heavy, like, especially compared to, like, an Xbox controller, you know? Okay. I think an Xbox controller is honestly heavier.
I mean, does it feel bigger in your hands? I mean, like, are there any improvements, like, physically to, like, its dimensions or anything like that? Like, does it feel like a new, like, beefier controller?
Yeah, I mean, it feels nice. Like, I think maybe the sticks, I think, are a little bit taller than on the DualShock 4 and stuff. But, I mean, for the most part, it literally, like, feels like a slight, like, a nicer version of the PS4 controller. So, nice. Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it. Like, the little touchpad thing is really responsive. Mm-hmm. I haven't had, like, any issues, like, with the PlayStation in general, like, playing it and stuff. I haven't had, like, it, like, crash or, like, anything weird happen. And, like, load times on everything I've played is instantaneous. And, I mean, compared to the play, like, just even navigating the PlayStation Store compared to my original PS4, like, dude, when I go to the PlayStation Store on the PS4, that shit takes, like, a month to load. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just, like, sitting there, like, waiting, and then sometimes I have to fucking, like, go out and then go back into the store to, like, get it to work. This, like, click it, and it's, like, I'm already in the store. I'm like, whoa. Like, I was like, what do I even do? Like, I'm used to, like, having to go get, like, a drink or something while I'm, like, waiting for the shit to load. The only downside that I've noticed is, like, there's no HBO Max app or anything, like, yet on it. I mean, it has Twitch, YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, like, all the other ones, but it doesn't have, and, like, Prime, but it doesn't have, like, HBO Max or Verve, which is what I use for anime and stuff. But I'm sure those will come later. But no, I mean, it's been super good. It's so quiet, too, compared to my PS4 that sounds like a fucking, like, G6 about to take off. Like, it's just, like, there's, like, because Megan got the disc version. Mm-hmm. So, like, with the disc, like, you can hear the disc, like, of course, like, when it's, like, kicking, it's, like, a little bit. But, I mean, the actual place, like, the fans and stuff in it are so quiet, and it's, like, where it's, like, sitting at almost, like, shoulder level with me on top of, like, a shelf and stuff. So, since it wouldn't fit in the little box because it's so fucking big. Like,
So I'm assuming you have it set vertically, not horizontally?
Yeah, I have it set vertically because if it was horizontal, it would literally take up, like, half of the top of the dresser. I mean, it would take up so much room, especially with the little thin thing on top.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, like, insanely, like, tall. So I'd rather it be tall versus it be long. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had any issues because I've always been hesitant, especially with, like, all my other consoles, like the PS3, 360, anything that, like, could run vertically, I've always just lain horizontally because I'm like, no, I don't trust it, like, popping out of the disk drive or something and, like, mm-hmm. shredding a disk in it or fucking up. But, yeah, no, this one, I mean, I was like, I'm not going to put it horizontal and have it take up all that space, so mm-hmm. but I haven't had any issues with it, like, not reading a disc or anything like that.
Do you have any plans to take the paneling off on the side and, like, spray paint it, like, black? Or, you know, because I've seen a lot of people online, like, you know, take their paneling off on the side and, like, either go crazy with, like, some type of custom art design or whatever. Like, I mean, I like it just with the white, but, like, a lot of people seem to have issues with it. Like, are you going to do any of that fun stuff?
Yeah, no, like, I don't have any, like, I think it's fine. I mean, I wish it wasn't white, just because, I mean, since it's Megan's, whatever, but, like, in the living room, like, you know, it's, like, all the other consoles are, like, black, mm-hmm. so it kind of, like, sticks out, and just with, like, dogs, like, everything gets dusty so quick, like, it's gonna show really quick, like, the dust on it and stuff,
mm-hmm.
But no, I think it's fine. I did that with my 360 when my 360 had issues red ringing. My dad took it apart to try and like fix the red ring and stuff. And while it was apart, he used to do pinstriping and stuff like on cars. So he like spray painted it, this like car like metallic blue and did pinstriping on it and stuff.
Oh, that's dope.
Then I put some of my like stickers when I used to do like street art and stuff on it, and then he took like clear like enamel like glaze and stuff to, like seal it onto there so it like will never get messed up.
Nice. That's legit. Well, that's cool. And like, did you get any of the peripherals with it? Like, did you get the charging stand or
the anything for the controllers?
Yeah.
No, I mean, all I got for, well, since it's Megan, like, she didn't get anything, and, like, when I get mine, I don't really plan, I don't use, like, the iToy, or I might get a charging stand eventually, just because I have one for the PS4 controllers, and it's nice to just be able to, like, boop them in there and let them charge, because all the time I'll pick up a controller and it's dead, because nobody charged it. Pain in the ass. But,
And I do love that the controllers are USB-C, finally.
Yeah, like, no, that's super nice because in Megan's room, she has her Switch set up in there too, and it has a cord, the charging cord for the Pro controller for the Switch, which is USB-C, so it's just auto-plugged in. So while I was sitting there and the controller was dying, I just picked it up off the floor and plugged it in, and it was charging the controller. So I was like, dope, like I don't need to like plug it into the actual PlayStation or whatever. It was just charging it through the Switch. So
nice. Sweet.
Well, that's awesome. So do you think it's a strong console? Do you think it what are your overall impressions of it initially?
Like, I think it's powerful. I mean, I wish there was more storage space. Like, I like the fact that like as like weird as it is or whatever in comparison to just like getting a solid, like the fact that Xbox has basically like memory card size like terabyte, 2 terabyte, whatever drives that you can just plug into the Xbox for more storage. I think that's cool. Like, if they had an option for that for the PlayStation, I would probably shell out money for like a terabyte or 2 terabyte one to just plug in instead of having to get like an external solid state or something to like jack into it. But yeah, no, I mean, besides that, everything runs smooth. Games install pretty quickly. I mean, the two games that Megan has for it besides like the PlayStation Collection and like the PlayStation Plus stuff was she got Demon's Souls and Godfall. And since it's a disc one, you know, it has to sit there and like install, and it installed pretty quick. I think it only took maybe like 20 minutes, I think, to install like each game and stuff, which in comparison to the PS4, sometimes that, you know, that's like a fucking all afternoon endeavor. Like
that's a start it and then go to bed move.
Yeah. You know? And then you wake up and it's done and you're like, dope. And you boot it up and then there's like a 5 gig patch and you're like, well,
that's if you're lucky. Like it's like, yeah,
that's on the
50 gig side. Day one patch. Like, God damn it.
Oh, that's awesome.
But overall, happy with the purchase?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still want to get my own one so that we can play Godfall and Demon's Souls together. So,
I want to table that because I want to ask you about Godfall.
I'm going to talk. Believe you and me, I'm going to talk about Godfall.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear why it's worth over $1,000 for you to play Godfall together.
Like, yeah. It is not, but I will get into it. I'm still going to buy it, but I will get into that.
But you know, a game that is coming out, I think, like, Friday, you guys. Yeah. Like, it's legitimately.
Yeah.
Cyberpunk. It's actually going to get released. Like, we all got hoodwinked. We all got, we all got Rickrolled. On the Discord with Cyberpunk putting up the never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around, desert you press release.
When Mike Miller put that up on our page, like when I saw the yellow come up, that was the angriest shit I'd ever taken in my life. Like I couldn't even like read at that point because like the text was so small, but like I saw that yellow box and I was like, I swear to God, if they put another freaking extension on this thing, I am going to be a little miffed like right now. And then like I zoomed in on it, like once I was able to like, you know, like actually pay attention to it. And then I was relieved. So, Mike, thank you for making my poop experience not the best on that day.
Shannon saw yellow and, like, went blind in his left eye for, like, a second as he's, like, reaching for his, like, heart pills. Like, he's, like, can't take it.
It is true. No, Shannon's absolutely right. Because, like, I opened up Discord, saw the yellow press release, and was just like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, again? Come on. And, I mean, I'm at the point now where, realistically, I'm probably not even going to get this game. Just because, guys, I don't have 100-plus hours to sink into nothing these days, let alone Cyberpunk. I should say, let alone Cyberpunk Sight Unseen, before I hear from everyone that it's the greatest game and a technological achievement and I have to play it. And then I'm like, well, next year when it's $39, sure. Okay. But that got me good. I was convinced that it got pushed yet again because it seems so believable at this point.
Yeah. I wasn't in disbelief. I was just like, why did you wait until a week before the release?
That was my thing. It's like, wow, you were a week out and we're like, nope. But so you guys know my stance on it, and it's really more just a time crunch than anything for me. But what about you two? Are you guys still hyped for this? Are you on board? Will this join the ranks of game Shannon loves but never finishes? Like, where are we at with this?
Dude, I don't know if it's the same for you, Shannon. It's so weird because, like, after, like, I think I was initially hyped for this game, and then it was, like, after the second, like, oh, it got pushed back, like, I kind of just completely fell off. Like, I didn't care anymore. But then now that it's, like, literally coming out next week, I'm kind of low-key hyped on it again, especially now you see all the ads for it now and stuff, yeah. And it actually has a date attached to it. And I'm just like, man, I'm like, all right, I'm kind of like back in it again with the hype.
Yeah, I basically set myself up to be like, okay, look, I'm not going to get a PlayStation 5 anytime soon. I'm not going to get a new Xbox anytime soon. I did get a brand new PC to play the next gen games at like a next gen level. And this is one of those games that I've been looking forward to for a while. So I am hyped to give it a try on a different platform because I think most of my gaming has occurred on a console for, you know, the majority of my gaming life. So I would like to experience this in a new setting, like, you know, just to kind of see what this is all about and to see what my new PC can do. So I'm stoked. Like, I think I will get this. I know it's going to be one of those games that's going to last me a long time and probably be one of those games that I never finish just because, but the PC is at my girlfriend's house right now. So my timing is limited, especially since I have a 3-year-old that demands like pretty much all my time. So, you know, I do want to experience this. I'm not going to buy it day one, just because with Christmas coming up, my family is always like, you always buy everything that you want, and it really is annoying to the rest of the family. So could you just not buy anything for a little bit and let us get you some stuff? So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it for Christmas. So it'll be delayed with me reviewing it, but I'll get it eventually.
Now, the one thing I will tell you that since I am also a person that stayed away from PC gaming until this year, it is amazing how much easier it is to just hook up controllers and all that stuff now than it was. Like, cause I was, you know, I was having horrible memories of, you know, the college days 15 years ago or so when it was like you needed drivers and all this stuff. And like, you're trying to make square pegs fit in round holes just to get a fucking third party mouse to work right. And all this bullshit and like a sound card to fire correctly and all this. And now it's just like, oh, hook up this cord. Yep. It's fine. Go play. So like it on that regard, like those things shouldn't intimidate you anymore. Like there can be weird hitchy shit still here and there, but 90% of all that stuff has been smoothed out now. It's, I've played a lot on my computer since I got it back in, June? Mm-hmm. And I had one issue, which was, surprisingly enough, getting Halo 3 to sync right to a Microsoft controller. But even that was just like, oh, update the firmware in the controller. It's fine. And it worked right.
See, that was the problem. That's the problem I'm running into, right? Because I got my computer all set up. I downloaded Steam. I downloaded the Xbox client. I got Game Pass for a dollar for like 3 months. I went to hook up my Elite Series 1 controller. And for some reason, it just will not connect to my PC. And I don't know if it's like you were saying, like I have to update the controller through my Xbox One.
You should be able to do it outside of the app in the PC. If you're outside of the Xbox app, try to just because the PC probably still sees it, right, when you connect it.
See, that's the problem is like I'll go into like the system settings because it's Windows 10. So I go into the system settings and then I go to like the Bluetooth connectivity and then I do like the everything else like section.
Well, there's your problem because that controller isn't Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. But it says that's the thing is it says controller. That, and I was just like, whatever.
I I'm not making fun. I did the same exact goddamn thing with that controller. I spent like a half hour going like, how come this computer can't see it? It's Bluetooth. Like, what the hell? Like, I'm turning it on, turning it off, turning it on, turning it off. You actually just have to use a USB cord
to make it work. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I'll do that then.
The Series 2 totally is.
Yeah, totally works. But I'm not going to pay another $200.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hey, man, Christmas is right around the corner.
Yeah, hey, your family's always asking what you need.
My family doesn't like me that much. I'm just telling you that right now.
My mom's like, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, well, if you see a PS5 floating around there, she's like, nah. Yeah, you want some pants or something? I'm like, well, okay, that's fine.
Oh, man. So,
socks.
So, like, one of my friends from the job I had before I became an elevator mechanic hit me up and they were like, hey, I ordered a PlayStation 5 for my husband and my husband ordered a PlayStation 5 as well. So we have two of them now. And I was like, hook a brother up. And she was just like, well, I think I'm going to sell it because people are paying like $1,300 for it online. And I was like, could you just sell it to me for $500, please?
I would even be like, I'll give you six. Can I just give you six and we'll call it good? Like,
My thing is, why bring it up then?
I know, dude. Like,
you're just gloating like, hey, so if you want to pay me $1,100 for this.
I know, pretty much that's what they're like. Oh, well, you know, we'll knock $200 off if you want to buy it. I'm like, dude, I'm going to unfriend you right now.
Right. They're like, let me tell you what I ain't going to do. But yeah, so I think Cyberpunk for me is going to be one of those like, I'm worried about the FOMO overtaking me and me spending the money on it, playing it for 2 hours, going, oh God, I don't have any capacity to play this game, and it sitting on a hard drive for a year. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah, and I mean, there's that huge potential for that to happen because, I mean, it is, you're going to spend, I mean, like with the amount of customization you can do just making your character, you're easily going to spend like 2 hours just making sure your penis size is the correct size for your character.
I'm gonna try to roll for the dumbest preset character I can and just go, you know, like I want the stupidest looking motherfucker I can create and just we're gonna roll with it,
just a rolling garbage can.
Totally, like mechanics aren't going to make any goddamn sense, you know, like, just, yeah, bring it to me.
Zach's going to be running around looking like fucking Skeeter from Doug, like, all blue with, like, a massive nose, like.
Yeah, but he's going to murk the hell out of people.
he's like, and he's.
Well, see, that's the thing is they'll all be laughing so hard at me they won't see it coming, you know.
But that's the thing too is there's not really like a multiplayer like component to that, right? Like I haven't really heard much about a multiplayer like section, just how beefy the storyline is. So I don't think, I mean, other than just experiencing the graphics and like the load times and all that stuff, like I don't think you're gonna miss out on much.
I know, but see the thing, and here's the catch for me, Shannon. I love The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is such a goddamn good game, and it's the next one by those people, and they're going, you know, they spent years, they pushed all their chips into the middle of the table to make this game, and it's like, I'm just not gonna play that, really? Like I'm just gonna let that go.
Okay, so it's not that you're not gonna play it, you're just not gonna play it when it's initially released.
And but so, okay, so here's my fear. if I don't play it, I'll never play it. That's my fear. Because it's like, it's getting released. That my internal zeitgeist hype meter is at its fullest. But I know if I miss that window, and then by the time I get my PS5 or Series X or whatever, Resident Evil 8 is out.
Mm-hmm.
God of War, Halo Infinite. Yeah, there's some big fish out there that are going to be hooked and landed in the next couple of years that I'm worried. That's all.
Well, and it's like
these are now, the internal battles of Zach Anderson, Shannon.
Yeah, it's like from now until like end of February, that's all you're going to see on Twitter. It's going to be exactly like Animal Crossing when it came out. That's all you're going to see for like the next 3 months is Cyberpunk screenshots, and that's all everybody's going to be talking about.
What do you think is the most annoying game when it came out as far as Twitter went? When, like, once it was released, you could not escape the damn thing. This is not in the outline. You made me think of it, and now I just want to know if anyone else has the same answer as me.
Well, what's yours? Because, like, I'm trying to think of one.
So the worst one of all time, and this goes back. You might not have even had Twitter then. Do you remember the game Sword and Sorcery?
Yes.
It was an iPhone game.
Yeah, Sword and Sorcery EP or whatever.
And it had a built-in thing that would send to Twitter automatically from the game. And everyone that played the game did it incessantly. And it was one of those things, like, my Twitter thing at the time was pretty much all games people.
Mm-hmm.
So my feed, day and night, for months, was just lines of dialogue from Sword and Sorcery. And it was just like, oh my God. Like, I finally, like, and this was before Twitter had, like, mute filters built in, so you couldn't block it, you know? Like, you couldn't get rid of it. It was just, it was maddening. Maddening! I still hate Sword and Sorcery to this day.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I would probably say the most prevalent game on my Twitter feed is Fortnite.
There's a lot of Fortnite.
And I just don't, I mean, like, I think it's annoying to me because, like, I just don't, I don't like the building aspect of it. You know, the run and gun and the, you know, the events and all that stuff looks super cool and super dope. But, like, you know, just that building aspect of it, I can't get behind it. But, you know, people love playing that game and they're all over it. So, I mean, it's not really annoying to me. It's just, you know, just like, okay, well, it's just something I just dismiss when I see it.
Sure.
Justin, is there anything for you that annoys you?
So the one that I could think of was, I want to say, when I can't, like, I had multiple people on my Twitter feed playing it. I think it was like Yakuza 0. And it was just like, but all it was they weren't really saying anything about it. They were just posting screenshots from the game. And it was just like a bunch of out of context, just like random fucking scenes from like cutscenes and stuff. And I was like, hashtag like Yakuza 0 and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I get it's a weird game. So I'm like, I probably wouldn't even know what's going on initially. But then just getting like a segment of like an entire cutscene or whatever, like cut out. But they did it. It was like months, for like 2 months. I had like probably like 3 or 4 different people that were just constantly posting Yakuza 0 shit. And I was like, I've never played Yakuza 0. I'm like, I can't appreciate this on any level. And you're not giving me anything to appreciate off of what you're posting. So this is all the time. I was like, this isn't making me want to play Yakuza 0.
It's totally like when viral marketing goes bad, you know, like it turns a corner and it's like, I just can't take it anymore. This is the worst. So sorry, that was a random tangent, but yes, I feel that way. That's coming with Cyberpunk. I'm just going to be inundated, to Justin's point. I'm just going to be inundated with, videos and screenshots and GIFs and everything. And it's a good thing that Justin's food got delivered. So wait for him to eat now.
It's not food, it's candy. I got some Sour Punch Rainbow Straw. Oh shit.
He just disappeared. There you go.
Yep.
Skype doesn't want you to see it.
The candy will not be televised. All right. Well, how about...
Wait. I got one more piece of news that I want to talk about before we get into our best and worst holiday movies.
Okay.
Warner Brothers this week decided that they were going to they were going to you know, stream their movies on HBO Max the same day that they were going to release them in theaters. What do you guys think? Because AMC is livid about this and slammed Warner Brothers on Twitter for, you know, pulling this stunt. You know, AMC was like, you know, we only signed off for Wonder Woman. I don't understand why they're doing all this other crap. But you guys are douchebags, and you know, you're basically destroying the cinematic experience in a movie theater. What do you guys think of being able to watch The Matrix 4, Godzilla versus King Kong?
Mm-hmm.
What was the other couple movies? Dune.
Dune was well, I mean, all of them, Matrix and all of that, but like. Dune was one of those ones where I'm like, wow, like that's a movie you think really should be seen on a big screen, like just mm-hmm. for those type of sweeping landscapes and big action sequences and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I get what AMC's really mad about, because if that were my business, I'd be really mad too. Unfortunately, their business isn't Warner Brothers' business, and mm-hmm. I think Warner Brothers was like. Yeah, so this ship's about underwater, and there's another boat over here that can take me a little further. So I'm just gonna hop over on that boat. good luck to you guys. And I think that's all that happened here. And it sucks for the movie business. I mean, but they've had one foot in the grave for pretty much an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
I think this kicks a lot more dirt on it, because why would a lot of people go to a movie theater? It's just like, sure, I love the movies. I like going to the movies. I like the experience. I like the big screen. I like the big sound. I like my popcorn. I like all that stuff. But man, pandemics are real bad for that. They're just real. They just don't go with that business model very well. And I know I think Warner Brothers is just betting that, hey, 2021 ain't going to be all that different. So we spent a lot of money to make these movies. We need to make some money back. And it's a bummer for the movie business. It really is. I don't know. I hope they can ride this out and come out the other side. But I don't know what waits for them on the other side anymore. Because I know Warner Brothers was the first studio to do this. They're not going to be the last. Because you watch, Wonder Woman 84 is going to do huge numbers Christmas Day, and next thing you know, Disney and all the rest are going to line up and be like, hey guys, so here's our movies for the year. And yeah, I think that's it.
Well, I mean, I think Disney's already following suit, because isn't their next Pixar movie being released digitally too? Like sometime
also on Christmas Day.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it just, you know, I think... this is a cleaner business model. You know, you get more of the profit. I mean, you don't have to share any of the profit with the studio, with the movie theaters. I mean, granted, mm-hmm. your profit or the amount you were sharing with the movie theaters wasn't much to begin with. I mean, they were making most of the money on in the concession stands. But, you know, I think you get more of the profit. You cut out the middleman. And you're probably going to make just as much money, because people are going to be like, well, I could go to the movie theater and pay $40. Or like, as you were saying a couple episodes ago, you could pay $100 to go out and see this movie. Or like, you know, people are going to stay at home, pay $20 and have like four people watching it with them. And they're going to watch that movie probably like, you know, a handful of times at $20 a pop. You know, they're going to get more money back. So, I mean, I think there was what movie was it that came out like, at the beginning of the pandemic, like that they put
Trolls World Tour.
Yeah.
I know that was one of them.
And that thing crushed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, you know, it's just, it's the perfect time to take advantage of a situation like this. And, you know, I don't fault Warner Brothers for trying to get as much money as possible. You keep people working, keep people happy. I mean, people need an escape in a time like this. And I think they're just, you know, in addition to lining their pockets, doing a service to everybody else. It just sucks that AMC's got to suffer for it.
Well, I think so I don't know about your personal experience, but I've noticed in my little circles, the pandemic has done one thing extremely well, and that is point out to everyone real bad relationships. And I mean, you can take that in whatever way you want. I'm not going to point fingers or name names. But I think the movie theater, movie studio is yet another real bad relationship that the pandemic has exposed. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those, everyone played nice, everyone towed the company line, everyone said the right things when the in-laws were around, so no one was the wiser. But when push came to shove, that was real toxic. It was real bad. And now you're seeing how bad. You're seeing that the movie studios were essentially to the point of like, you know, I don't need you. I don't need you anymore, movie theater. There's this hot new flat screen in all these homes that, you know, I've been spending a lot of time with these days. So wish you your best life, movie theater, and I'll be seeing you around town. I think that's all that's happening here.
I'm just surprised that Warner Brothers decided to go with HBO Max instead of doing like their own like app and pushing their own agenda.
I would need to dig in, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're an investor with HBO Max. Like that might be them on some level. Because well, yeah, that was my first.
Warner
my
Brothers first owns time. HBO.
Do they?
Oh, okay.
Do they?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, because they own DC and stuff too, which is why like all the DC animated movies are on HBO Max. Like it's all connected.
And
like
Doom Patrol and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why all the DC stuff. That's why you see a lot of Cartoon Network stuff on HBO mm-hmm. Max because they own Cartoon Network. Like
and the Looney Tunes mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
It's all coming together now, Justin. We're putting all the pieces together. I mean,
but yeah,
me. I've talked a lot. What do you think, Justin?
No, I was just going to say, like, pretty much the same stuff. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of states are going back down on second lockdown and stuff. It's like, I haven't been to the movies at all this year, I don't think, unless it was back in, like, February. And so it's like, you know, they're just losing money. And, you know, I actually saw, and I thought this was fucking hilarious, that, like, Mulan is free to stream on Disney Plus now. People paid $30 for this movie, and it tanked so hard that Disney was just like, fuck it, just like put it on Disney Plus. And I'm like, dude, what about the people who paid for this? Like, you're just sitting there with it. Like, now anybody can just watch it.
Well, they got the privilege to watch it months early. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about it, that's really all any of that is. Well, yeah. Like, yeah.
And there's like a, like, you know, I would pay the $20-$30 to say, like, watch like Black Widow or like something like that. And, you know, with Wonder Woman, like that's definitely one that, you know, I will, you know, rent or whatever to like, actually, I wasn't going to give Mulan money, but I'll give Wonder Woman money, you know, and the fact that, you know, they're pushing Pixar movies and stuff to streaming services. Like, you know, I think they know that for the better part of next year, things aren't going to change, but they are losing money every day by like movie theaters like aren't pulling the numbers that they are here. Like maybe overseas it's better because COVID's a lot better like in other countries and stuff. But here it's like box numbers aren't looking too hot this year.
Well, I'll put it this way. I went to the movie theater once this entire year, and that was in November when I was able to rent an entire movie theater for $99 so I could take my kid to see Jurassic Park on his birthday. And what that means is my $100 was averaging more than whatever that theater was going to make at that showtime. Like, that's how I was able to do that. Like, that entire theater was making less money than my $100 was. Like, they would rather take my guaranteed $100 than whatever they were going to pull otherwise. And it's like, that's real sad. That's pretty bad. Like when you see Wreck-It Ralph 2 and you realize like for the money for the part they need to repair the video game, and it's like, oh, quick math tells me that game doesn't even make $2.50 a day. That's real shitty. So it's kind of like that. But I'm gonna miss the movie theater experience, and I really hope when all of the dust settles that movie theaters still exist, and they're not just all random art house bullshit movie theaters. You know, like, sure, I'd like me an Alamo House for some things, but you know what? When I want a big Marvel Endgame movie theater experience, Lord of the Rings movie theater experience, I don't want some asshole with beers walking by and food and all this stuff. Like, you know, like, I don't need a waitress in the middle of my movie theater. Like, just, come on. Can we just get... So I'm hoping when all the dust settles that there's a middle ground that can be reached. I just, it's going to be hard to come back, you know, it's going to be real difficult. So we shall see. But speaking of movies, gentlemen, it's December. We're in the season. So let's talk best and worst movies for the holidays. Shannon, what you got on your high watermark for a movie? Like, it's Christmas. I have to watch X movie. What is it?
To me, it's not Christmas if I haven't seen Die Hard at least maybe like once or twice. And I know that's a hot topic thing, so I'll just leave that alone. You're just one of those assholes. But Love Actually is another one that I like.
Okay. That's not one I genuinely or usually think of as Christmas, but I totally see how you get there.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing kind of takes place around like Christmas time and everything like that. And, you know, I think the first time I saw it, I was really surprised at how they got like 10 different stories to kind of intertwine all together. You know, it kind of runs the gamut of holiday like emotions. Like, not all the stories turn out well. You know, some of them are crazy and some of them are just kind of middle of the road and some of them are just horrible. But ultimately, you laugh through the whole thing. There's a great acting cast, like pretty much through the whole, I don't think there's a bad actor in the bunch, you know, in that movie. So, that's, you know, one of the movies I typically go to, in the holiday season. And if you're looking for something that's on the nose, something I used to watch, but I don't think I would watch anymore, is the Fred Claus. I don't know if you guys ever watched that movie, but it was a good movie. You know, for a while.
Was it? I never watched it, so I don't know. But
I mean, I liked it a lot. I did. I liked it a lot. It was just kind of like one of those movies where you could sit down and chill, and you didn't have to think too much about it. And yeah, there were a couple plot holes, and now there's an actor in it that, you know, really a lot of people don't favor. But, you know, it was like the height of like Vince Vaughn, like, you know, comedy shtick, like kind of level. Mm. So, you know, it was all right. Those are like my top three. How about you?
Well, I mean, as far as top movies, the one that I always have to see at some point is A Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. Just because it's, you know, growing up as we did in the 80s and 90s, it was literally every year. Every year was A Christmas Story, and TBS started showing the 24-hour marathons of it at some point. And I would always watch it at least a few times when they did that. So many iconic things, you know.
I have a leg lamp that I put up in the window with the Christmas tree, and it is awesome.
Does it come in a box that says Fragile?
It did. I don't know where the box is anymore. Otherwise, I would display it proudly with the leg lamp. But but yeah, it just sits there proudly.
And then, I mean, it's not a Christmas movie, but you have to watch Charlie Brown Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Have to.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do it. And then a new one that I highly recommend if no one's seen it. It's on Netflix, Klaus.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that.
It's visually crazy impressive. Like, the animation in this movie is, I mean, it's Ghibli-esque, like top-notch, second-to-none levels of animation. The story's quirky, it's fun, and... It just really works. It's really effective, good little Christmas, you know, parable type story. And I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. Give it I bet your kid would really dig it, Shannon. It's nice. It's fun. There's some parts that are a little intense, but they're still funny. But they kind of go that line of like, ooh, this could be kind of dark. Oh, I don't know. Like, but then it always plays it for the laugh. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, we rode that line where this could have been like, and then all these people got murdered. And then it's like, oh, no, but it's all a joke. Ha, 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 you know? So, yeah, it's one of those type of things. I highly recommend Klaus. It's pretty rad. Justin, what you got?
So I agree. Like, A Christmas Story at my parents' house is, of course, always a classic. like around the season. They always, usually they'll always have the marathon running and stuff on the TV. For me, me and my dad always watch Bad Santa.
Bad Santa's so good.
Yeah, I do love that one. I wish the second one was better, but the first one is a classic, and I love it. It's like my favorite thing with Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah. He's such an asshole. Like every, and it's so fun. I've seen it so many times, but the part that kills me the most every time because it's so random is like when he gets off, like when he's like in the parking lot going to the mall, when he lands in Arizona and he has the empty bottle and he just like throws it in the parking lot and it hits a car and the alarm goes off. It kills me every time because it's just such a dick, like asshole move.
Totally.
And it's so good.
No, the part where he's in the food court and like the kid comes up to ask him and he's like, and like food is falling out of his mouth while he's yelling at the kid, like that's where I lose my shit every time too.
Yeah, it's so great. It has Bernie Mac's hilarious in it.
Oh yeah,
it's so good. And like for the bad one, so the bad one, I always put it up there with like The Room, where it's like it's so bad but it's fucking hilarious, and I doubt you've ever seen it. But it's the A Grumpy Cat Christmas movie.
You're right. I have not seen it.
Oh, man. Dude, so let me just break down the plot of the Grumpy Cat Christmas movie for you.
Oh, please.
So,
please do.
Yes. So it was like a Hallmark movie. And like my friend Kyle, the one year for Christmas, actually got it for me on DVD so that we could actually watch it. And the whole premise is it has Grumpy Cat in it. And it's like Grumpy Cat is in this pet store at this mall and nobody wants to buy her because she looks grumpy. So she's like mad and talks to the other animals and like whatever. And then this little girl is at the pet store. Here's Grumpy Cat. Like Grumpy Cat telepathically communicates with this girl. So she hears the cat and then someone's trying to like rob the pet store or whatever on like Christmas Eve. So it's like they basically were like, what if we take the plot of like Home Alone 2 of them robbing the toy store on Christmas Eve, but instead it's a pet store, and now this girl and Grumpy Cat, who telepathically communicates with this girl, are gonna stop, like, and there's like some Paul Blart dude who's like a mall security dude. Like, it's like they took elements from all these other movies, mashed them together. But the part that gets me the most, besides Grumpy Cat telepathically communicating with the little girl, is there's a legitimate ad break in the movie where it breaks the fourth wall multiple times, but it breaks the wall and advertises GrumpyCat.com in the actual fucking movie and puts up real merchandise and the actual URL and everything in like a nice like 2 minute segment of advertisement. I was like, dude, like that is low. Like if you have to advertise your website in the movie. So good.
That's wow. So good. My bad movie is a movie we watched last night, which is The Polar Express.
That's the one I was going to say. Oh, that is a horrible movie.
Oh, man.
I've never seen it because it just looks bad.
And it's awful because, like, my wife and my kids really like it. So I'm locked in to watch it at least once every Christmas season. And it's one of those movies, every time I watch it, I'm like, you know, they really should just redo this movie. Like, the movie itself isn't necessarily that bad. Like, it was in the height of, like, the 3D movie experience, so there's, like, some super forced 3D scenes where it's like, oh, now it's like a roller coaster or whatever, and all that. But the animation, which at the time, I'm sure, was very impressive, and, like, for 3D animation, but it has that like uncanny valley thing where it just looks wrong on screen. It's just something about it just isn't, there's no like warmth to it at all. It's just like the most sterile animation you've ever seen, despite being very, very impressive. The annoying kid is way too annoying. Like, it's just like crazy annoying. And then the part I was going to mention from before that I have a problem with, and Shannon, back me up on this. What's their issue with the poor kid? Like, I feel so bad for the poor kid. Like, this poor kid, literal poor kid, they make a point where the kid, the super annoying kid's like, oh, we're going to the other side of the tracks. And then they pick up this kid. And I'm like, bro, he's in like a decent house. Like, come on, man. Like, he's not like they pulled this kid out of cardboard boxes or something. Like, come on. And the whole thing with this kid is like, Christmas never shows up at his house because his family doesn't have money. So like, no one's getting presents and all this. But like, he immediately goes to the back car and stays there. Like, there's a whole plot point of like finding this kid and just to like talk to him. He sings the sad I Don't Know What Christmas Is song, which the little girl then comes up and is like, you're totally wrong, you fucking moron, Christmas rules. And it's like, wait, this isn't a good song. Like, what the hell is this? Like, and at the end, it's like, oh, things are great. He got a present. Mm-hmm. Like, no, yeah. Like, there's no setup to like, hey, me and you are going to hang out after this, or like, I can help you out, kid, or anything. It's like, nah, here's your present. Kick rocks back to the Poorville. Later.
Like, yeah, you keep hoping that there's going to be like this theme like that runs through it, like people can change and like, you know, it's going to change people's like outlook on Christmas and philosophy on like, you know, being good towards your fellow man, and like you'll get any of that and you're just like, dude, come on. Like
I get Tom Hanks fucking Eddie Murphying the clumps in it, the whole damn movie, and like, yeah, I didn't need Tom Hanks playing eight roles, thanks.
Yeah,
like. And then there's the random, like, hobo ghost dude. Like, what the hell is his old deal? There's the Land of Misfit Toys car that is only in there to scare the shit out of my three-year-old. Like, I don't understand why that scene's even in the movie. Like, and then, Shannon, and then, spoilers, sorry, at the end of the fucking movie, the kid is playing with the marionettes from the fucking ghost car. Like, what is that? Like, what the fuck? Like, this thing was like threatening to strangle him with marionette strings, and now he's like, oh, Christmas tree, I've got the fucking tool. Like, what the fuck? Like, I want the scene where he opens that box and is like, holy fucking shit, what is this? Like, and throws it in a fire. Like, that's what I want. Like, oh, I hate that goddamn movie.
Yeah, it is, like, I've maybe watched it a handful of times, and every single time I regret. Like, I was like, you know, maybe I was in a bad space at the time. I'll give this another try. Nope. That movie sucks. Like, yeah. I will tell you, though, with Disney Plus, we've been going through, like, the old, like, Scrooge McDuck, like, Christmas Carol.
I love the original Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yeah, dude, that one is freaking dope. Like, the Christmas Past, like, Little Timmy, like, all that stuff. Like, that hits the sweet spot, though. Like, I love watching that.
The Muppets Christmas Carol is really good.
Yeah.
Really good one.
I'm trying to think if there was another one that we've watched recently.
Get you some Emma Daughter's Jug Band Christmas. It's always a winner.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's where we're at right now. Disney Plus, we're just going through like that whole catalog.
I've got a real hot take for you guys. Justin, are you sitting down?
I am sitting down.
All right, good. Because Nightmare Before Christmas sucks, you guys.
I agree.
Like, it's a bad movie.
And I will tell you, I've had to watch it since Halloween, like before Halloween, and I'm done watching that movie. Like, I just, I'm out.
I mean, maybe I'm old. Maybe it's just I'm old, and I lived through the Nightmare Before Christmas, you know, movement, the hot topification of Nightmare Before Christmas. I was there, boots on the ground, fighting in those streets when it first went down. Jack's real bad. Like, he's a piece of shit. And, like, they really go out of their way to be like, oh, Jack and Sally. Jack treats Sally like a fucking asshole, like, that entire movie. And then at the end, he's like, hey, you know how you saved my ass? Why don't you come hang out with me? Yeah, let me wrap my long bony arms around you. Like, it's one of those, like, no, you treated her like dog shit that entire movie. Like, you threw her out like garbage. And she's just supposed to be like, oh, that's just Jack. He gets obsessed. Like, yeah, that. Have some backbone, Sally. What are you doing?
I know. The only reason Jack is in the movie, I mean, to be the only redeeming quality is he kills Oogie Boogie. Because Oogie Boogie's a piece of shit, too. So it's kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But I mean, even then, Santa Claus is just like, you know, everybody's like, why is Santa Claus so like upset? I was like, dude, like that guy had not a pleasurable experience at all by anybody in Halloween Town. Like, he gets kidnapped. Like, everybody's a jerk.
Let me put forward, and then Justin, I'm sorry, you'll have your time to tell us.
No, it's fine.
But let me put forward, Oogie Boogie was just playing his role. He's the fucking boogeyman. Like, that's what he does, dude. Like, bro, I'm in Halloween Town. Like, this is where this type of shit goes down. Like, Oogie Boogie wasn't the one going to Christmas Town. He was just one of those, like, oh, there's fly shit out there? Yeah, let me send Lock, Shock, and Barrel, and we'll get some of this for Daddy. Daddy's hungry. I think Oogie Boogie was just, you know, he was being himself. He was living his best life.
Wrong, like, place, wrong time, huh?
Yeah. Like, he got torn apart because Jack wanted to play fucking Santa Claus, and that's bullshit. Like, you know?
So, that's my thing, is, and it's like, no one in Halloween Town is a good person. Let's be like, everyone, the guy who made Sally's a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. Sally poisons him on the regular just to get away from him. And then, yeah, has, like, daddy issues, whatever, so she, like, clings to Jack. Jack's a piece of shit, going into other neighborhoods, stealing mm-hmm. shit, trying to be something he's not, forcing everyone to adopt Christmas, even though they are clearly Halloween Town. Yeah. Like, I mean, Oogie Boogie's a piece of shit. The kids are pieces of shit. Like, the dude, the mayor dude or whatever, like, doesn't know how to do his fucking job and relies too heavily on Jack and everyone else to take care of everything for him. Like, everybody sucks in Halloween Town. So, and it's like, you know, with Jack and Sally's relationship, I mean, it's no different than how people romanticize Joker and Harley Quinn. Right. Like, you realize that's some, like, Stockholm Syndrome fucking, like, romance. Like, why do you idolize this when he would literally push her in front of a train to kill Batman, like, in an instant? Like, he would openly save Batman. He saved Batman over her because he would rather lose her than Batman.
Yeah. But, It's a weird thing in culture where, like, movies like this take off, and I'm like, man, I don't – every time I watch it, I like it less. And, you know, I was taken the first time I saw it just with the animation style and everything. Like, oh, this is cool as hell. But, I mean, if we're talking those type of movies, Coraline runs rings around it. Like, Coraline is such a better movie than Nightmare Before Christmas and gets none of the pub. Kubo? Kubo and the Two Strings? Come on now. Come on now.
Like, I still see, like how it's made videos on Kubo, like, just like the boat scenes and stuff like that were just phenomenal.
Yeah. So that's my hottest Christmas movie take is fuck Nightmare Before Christmas. But,
now, does like the Santa Claus, like, make it anywhere in your list? Like, I mean, old school Tim Allen before he went, like, all crazy and, you know, political, like,
old,
I mean,
old MAGA Tim. No, I mean, again, I kind of I'm willing to own this. I will take it upon myself. My problem is I watch these movies and start immediately having, like, a bunch of questions where I'm like, so did he just kill some random dude who happened to kill the other guy that was Santa Claus? Like, was this, like, guy just Highlander? Like, yeah, like, was he just, like, the first day on the job and fell off a roof and was like, oh shit, like, you know, like, I don't know. There's no, they never tell you how long that dude's been Santa for. You're supposed to assume he's, like, OG Santa Claus, but obviously the suit tells you that, like, nah, it's just the suit, man. Put on the suit. Like, I don't know. Some Wishmaster type shit happening in that movie. But that first movie was good. The second movie, I don't even remember. And then the third movie, I was out. I never saw it. So I think the first movie's fine. As far as, it's like Elf quality. Holiday movie where it's like, yeah, it's fun, but, like, I don't go out of my way to watch it, you know.
Yeah,
dude, my thing is, like, so I think the first one is a really solid movie. It's definitely, I think the first one's really enjoyable, dude, and then the second one starts to get real fucking cringy. Yeah. because we just watched them all recently, and it's like the second one, Tim Allen's son is, like, older at this point. He has a vendetta against Tim Allen for, like, basically being Santa Claus for, A, never being around, And B, he's like, my dad has the coolest job in the world, and I can't tell anybody because, you know, he's Santa, and I have to keep it a secret. So he's, like, spray painting his school and shit, like, anti-Christmas, like, bullshit. But it's, like, funny because he, like, lowers in, like, some Mission Impossible shit into the gym. He, like, gets a black spray paint can. It's kind of just spraying the wall, and then it does some, like, time-lapse, like, cut away. So then it shows some, like, grade A, like, took an hour to paint it, like, graffiti, but he just has the one can, and it's just, like, spraying, like, a random spot, like, he did this. And I'm like, you did not do that. Like, you're hanging from a fucking rope, like, 20 feet off the air. Like, you've never used a spray paint can in your life. And then the whole third movie is the whole, like, I wish I was never Santa Claus, and then, like, it just gets all weird with fucking, I don't remember.
Martin Short.
Yeah.
Martin Short's in that shit.
Yeah, it just gets real, like, real bad. But then it's funny, in Santa Claus 2, because there's a, they make the toy Santa, that's, like, because he's trying to find a wife, like, during the whole movie or whatever. So then they have the fake Santa running the North Pole while he's, like, doing normal shit trying to find Mrs. Claus. And there's parts in the movie towards the end where it's Tim Allen and then the toy Santa fighting, where when they would initially show toy Santa, it was still Tim Allen, but with, like, prosthetics and kind of, like, makeup shit on. But then when he's fighting toy Santa, it's some other dude in a suit wearing a, like, mask that is basically Tim Allen with prosthetics on it. And it's very obvious it's a dude in a mask that is, it's Tim Allen fighting himself. But like it's like, dude, the
leather face.
Yeah, but it's like you can see, like, it, like, around his eyes and shit, that it's like, it's clearly a mask now. Like, it's not Tim Allen anymore.
That's funny.
Like, it's
that's
so funny. Good.
Well, I guess we should move off of our holiday movies, or we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the night. Because there's so many. Like, how, if we're talking Die Hard, then we have to talk Batman Returns as a Christmas movie. Like, I don't know. Also, well, I mean, I can't
it's a movie
stand
you
the
want to watch, not a movie you don't want to watch.
Dude, penguins have rockets on their backs, man. Like, who wouldn't want to watch that shit? Michelle Pfeiffer in that Catwoman outfit? Come on, man. I think puberty hit me when I saw that movie.
I was going to say, the only thing that I remember is she, like, French kisses the dude with the taser. Is that what it was? Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, dude.
It's like one of those, like, whoa, these are strange feelings to be having in a movie.
She had its VHS to the movies, like, all fuzzy right there from being, like, paused and rewound.
Yeah. We'll break out the old school terminology. You have to adjust the tracking at that. But yes, yeah, so let's move on to the weekly consultation. I just been playing more Valhalla in lieu of other things. Finally getting my homestead up and running where I like it. It's getting me worried, though, because this game is starting to Assassin's Creed Odyssey itself, where all of a sudden just there are a bunch of missions that kind of don't mean shit, and I really would like the story to just progress, but 20-something hours in now, it's feeling like it's just spinning wheels for itself, and it's kind of bumming me out. I wish... These games need an editor real bad. They need that, like, okay, just get me the mainline story plot line thing. But yeah, it's still fun. I still like it. Soundtrack kicks ass. It's a really good Assassin's Creed game. I just think I might be losing my luster for Assassin's Creed games at this juncture. But outside of that, Justin stonewalled me on playing Diablo 3 on the Switch this week. So, Never got off the ground on that, Justin. And that's where I'm at. Is it? What? What? Why are you looking at me?
You never reach out to me to, like, play it.
I told you. I'm free every night after 8. You get a hold of me when you can play.
Guys,
not my fault.
This is what we in the business call lover's quarrel right now.
Not my fault.
Me and Zach are going to kiss and make up and play some. I'll have to fucking tell the boys, BRB, I got to go play some Diablo with Zach.
It's not my fault you fell asleep with your Switch on your face with some random Paper Mario bug game, you know.
Holy shit. The look on your face is priceless.
Well, the look was, how did he know? That was.
I know, right?
I'm like.
In his uncomfortable ass shoes, laying on his bed.
But no, we do need to get on that, because I do want to do that, Justin. So let's get on that. I'm willing to meet you in the middle and say we both dropped the ball on that last week. All right. So,
all right. I'm glad we were able to get past this.
But Justin, you had access to a PS5, so tell me what you've been playing. I want to know.
Have I got quite the lineup for you guys? All right. The first one I'm just going to get out of the way, since it's more of a remake than anything, but I played some Demon's Souls on the PS5, and I have the PS3 version. I never actually played it. I bought it when I got my PS3, but never actually like played the game. But it is, so it's my first time actually playing through it and stuff, but I've watched like people on Twitch and stuff playing it. But no, it is gorgeous, and like load times are seamless. Like, they basically rebuilt, they didn't really change too much from like the PS3 version, from what I understand. I mean, I guess some of the dialogue lines have like changed a little bit and stuff, and like the way like weight of like some of the items and stuff has been adjusted, and like the look of like some of the weapons. If anything, they've more like added additional stuff that wasn't in the PS3 version, like different weapon sets and like stuff like that. But just from playing it, I mean, load times incredibly smooth. Customization for your character in the beginning, like when Shanna's talking about like spending 2 hours on Cyberpunk, I spent probably like 10 minutes just making my character, because you can do the whole like width of like the eyes and like height and just like get super in depth with it. So I like went down that rabbit hole of tweaking it, but it was a lot of fun. Typical Souls game. I actually, between the two, I honestly prefer Dark Souls more, just because I like Estus Blast over eating leaves and stuff to heal. But it's the little things. Yeah, it's the one benefit, though, is, I mean, you can like always buy more healing items from like the shop dude, instead of like having to sit at a bonfire or something. But it's like weird, because like in Dark Souls with Estus Flask, you can walk and like drink an Estus Flask at the same time, whereas in Demon's Souls you dead stop to heal. So you kind of have to really plan. You can't move and heal, so you have to make sure you get really far away and don't like leave yourself open to get backstabbed or something like when you're trying to heal. But the next game I played, though, I did spend some time with Bugsnax, and I know in the Discord there's been some chat about Bugsnax. Now, I've heard nothing about Bugsnax. I saw the trailer when it was announced, but I've literally read no reviews, know nothing about it besides what was in the initial trailer or whatever, that you're basically like catching bugs that are fruit and you eat them and it causes your appendages to morph or whatever. So I have been pretty blind going into it. And the writing in the game is fantastic. The creatures, incredibly hideous. Like, the monsters are cute. The Muppet fucking grumples or grumplins, whatever. Those things look fucking terrifying. Like, just off, like, I don't really dig their art style. But, like, the little, like, all the little creatures, the fruit creatures, remind me a lot of, like, Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, too. With all the, like, fruit being, like, creature, and they're very cute, and they kind of skitter around. And, like, the whole premise, which I think is funny, because it's very much, like, the intro to Bioshock Infinite, is it's, like, you're a reporter, and you got, like, a video sent to you by the walrus chick that, like, wants, like, you to come and check out this place and stuff. And so you kind of come, and then your, like, ship or plane, whatever, crashes, but then you, like, end up getting there, and you're trying to, the chick's missing, though, so you don't get to interview her. So like you're trying to find out like where she went, but also like help the island and stuff with like their shit they got going on, because she's gone, shit's kind of gone to hell in a handbasket. And so you have your camera, and you're like when you see like Bugsnax running around and stuff, you can like take their picture, and when you do, it like gives you information about them and stuff. But so it's kind of like Pokemon Snap, but it also shows the like path that they like run, like where their cycle is, and you have like a trap and stuff, so you can like set up the trap and then you like run and hide to like catch them. But some of them like won't go for the trap, or some will like knock it over, or like will be skittish unless you do like certain things. So it's like some Bugsnax, in order to catch them, require greater setup. Like one of them is this like hamburger creature thing that like rams stuff. Like if you just leave the trap to try and catch him, he will not go for it. He'll just kind of knock the trap over and do whatever. So it's like you have to catch him with a net, and so you have to like use this like ketchup slingshot cannon and like cover something in like ketchup because that's what he likes, and like not have him like run into something to knock himself like unconscious, and then like run up behind him and catch him with the net in order to get him instead of using the trap and stuff. Or like use him to scare this other Bugsnax to run out of the bushes where it's hiding into like the line where its pathway is going to go to then trap it and stuff. So it's really cool because it's kind of like Pokemon Snap mixed with like whatever. Now, in terms of like the camera, this is what blew me away with the controller, because I didn't know that like the trigger buttons on the PS5 have like different tensions. Like you can program like how tense the trigger buttons are and stuff. Because there's one part like at the very beginning of the game when I was like, oh cool, the camera. And you push the like R2 trigger to use the camera. And when I went to push it, it's like the button was like kind of stuck. And I was like, what the fuck? And you like pushed it in. And then I realized when I wasn't in camera mode, like the button was normal. And then when I went into camera mode, the button stiffened and it felt like an actual like old school kind of camera. Like you push the button down to take a picture. So when you're in camera mode, it tightens the R2 trigger to feel like an actual like camera button.
Oh, and that's rad.
That blew my fucking mind. I thought the controller was fucking up, and I was like going in and out of the camera, like testing it. And I was like laughing, and Megan's like, what? And I was like, dude, I was like, you have to feel this. And I was like, push in on the like R3 button and then pull the trigger. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, now push it again and then pull the trigger again. And she's like, whoa, like that. I was like, dude, that blew me away. Like, I thought that was so cool. And then when you catch Bugsnax and stuff, it does the Wii thing where like the noise comes out of the controller and stuff. Like when you catch them, like you caught them like in the controller. Mm-hmm. And then when you feed them and stuff, they like say a little thing, and then you like watch them get snarfed down by creatures you're feeding. Like, I haven't figured out why people's appendages, from what I understand, I guess that will get explained later as to why people transform.
I hope they also are like, no, I'm totally cool with losing my hands and having strawberries now. Like, wait, dude, what?
Like, well, that's what's funny is, like, there's been times in the game, like, it beats around that. Like, the one, like, you interview the one dude who's the mayor, who's, like, a total dipshit, and, like, he can't do anything right, and, like, everyone in town, like, makes fun of him and kind of hates him, and, like, you caught a bunch of Bugsnax for him in the beginning. Like, he was, like, the tutorial, and you're kind of like, so, like, are you okay with, like, having your hands, like, as, like, french fries or, like what is going on with your appendages? And he kind of just, like, it's like, yeah, you know, this place is really great, and just kind of beelines whatever you're asking. So I'm kinda like, he ignores it. It's so good. So I am actually, I wasn't, like, super interested in it. Like, playing it made me more interested in it, because it's actually really fun. And I get the feel like, from what I've been told, it is actually going to get kind of darker, like, towards the end and stuff. So I'm kind of like, I'm here now that I know that, I'm like, all right, I'm here for it. Like, I want to see where all of this is going. Like, is the walrus person dead? Like, why do people transform when they eat the food? Like, is this like Lost, where everyone's kind of like dead on the island or something? Like, I want to know. So I'm very intrigued by it.
I'm here for a super dark Pokemon Snap. That sounds pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like catching them is like fun. Like, I've only seen, and like the islands and stuff, pretty, there's like, it's pretty big. Like, there's, I think, like 10 areas or something. And like, so far I've only unlocked 3 areas, and like in each area I've unlocked, there's like 13 different Bugsnax or something to catch. And it's like, I've only caught like 3 or 4 in the one area out of the 13. So I'm like, damn, dude, like, And I've only unlocked like a couple things on my like tool belt, so I'm assuming there's gonna be like more advanced traps and stuff to like hit them with and stuff. So I'm like pretty interested in playing that. And the third game.
Yeah, lay it on me. Let's get to the real reason we're here. Yeah. Let's talk some Godfall.
So yes, I bought Godfall, which I've heard again. I had heard really nothing except like decent, like it got like sevens, I guess, kind of like across the board. Like people said it was like okay, but it wasn't great and stuff. But I was like, all right, you know, it looks kind of Dark Souls ish, like kind of like just beat them. It looks pretty. I mean, on the PS5 and stuff, I thought it looked cool, so we bought it. This game wants to be Destiny so fucking bad. Like it, I feel like it feels like a game. If it came out during the PS3 era, I feel like it would have been game of the year nominee, like at that time for like what it's doing now. But it, to me, it literally feels like they were like, we're gonna take the literal menu system for Destiny and just general like not the good mechanics, but like the mediocre mechanics that people kind of bitch about for Destiny. We're gonna take those. People liked throwing the axe around in God of War. So we're going to take, like, that element and climbing on stuff in God of War. People like doing that. So we're going to take that element, too. We're just going to take both of those, throw it in there, and mix it with, like, some, like, Darksiders type of shit and just kind of combine it all together with, like, a hint of Borderlands. And that is Godfall. Like, combat and stuff is, like, fun. I mean, it feels good at parts. And then other parts, I feel insanely robbed. Like, there's times where you run into an area, and this game was clearly made to be played with a group. It is very obvious in the level design and the way enemies come at you that you're supposed to be playing with a group of, like, four people, three people, at least two people. Because there's times in combat, I wanted to throw the fucking controller. Because, like, it's not fair. Because, like, especially coming off of, like, Demon Souls and Dark Souls, where combat's very intentional, and you're set up in certain situations with the way combat is, like, introduced and, like, how it's going to go down. Like, you're not really overwhelmed at any given point in combat in Dark Souls, unless you, like, try to run away from everything, and then it just kind of piles up, but that's kind of your own fault. In this, you go into an area, and, like, shit just, like, spawns out of, like, everywhere. Like, portals, like, they just kind of, like, end of in-game, like, walk through fucking portals and like more waves of shit just come in. But there's like berserker enemies that'll like run at you and stuff, like close range. But then there's like these warlock kind of enemies that are summoning spells and throwing shit at you. But it's like when I'm sitting there trying to fight like the berserker thing, and then some warlock dude that I can't see that's like 10 fucking feet away, like over here, like off the screen, is hitting me with shit, like staggering me while I'm fighting this one thing. It's like I'm getting ganged up, like 7-1 for like no fucking reason, and it's like I can't even just run and kill the warlock thing because it's fucking teleporting everywhere. So it's like I feel like when there's multiple people, you know, not all the heat is on you, so you're not just getting bombarded shit all the time. But when it's just you and everything's sole focus is you, I felt like I was getting cheap shotted by like a lot of shit. And you heal with, like, almost Estus Flask-like items. Like, you get, like, three. And it's like, okay, you get to heal. And, like, health is pretty abundant, like, in the beginning. But I got into this huge area, and I did the quest. I completed it. And it's like, all right, go back to the fucking home tree or whatever to do whatever you want. But just these optional quest stuff that you can do. I was like, all right, I like doing optional stuff in games. Like, I'll try and, like, see if I can knock some of this out. And I got to the point where it was like, I had no, like, basically no health left. I was like, dude, if someone fucking sneezed on me, I'm going to die. And I was running around the level trying to, like, breaking pots and shit, trying to find health, could find nothing. And it's like, your health doesn't auto-regen. Like, in Destiny, it's like your health auto-regens back. In Dark Souls, you can sit at a bonfire and get your Estus Flask back. There was no option for that. It was just me, like, trying to find, and I'm like, dude, I can't fight someone in the hope that they drop health, because if I get hit once, I'm going to die. Like, I need health from, like, some sort of item or something, but I couldn't find anything. And I was like, dude, I don't agree with that. Like, I think your health should, like, slowly come back, like, over time, in addition to the couple healing items. Like, I thought that would have been better. But, like, I think that's why I want to get it again, because I think I would have more fun. Like, I'm not going to play it again by myself. I think it would be more fun, like, with me and Megan playing, but it also does, like, the typical Destiny shit of, like, you get weapons, like, you get the same weapon, basically, over and over. From chests and shit, you open it, and it's just crap half the time. Sometimes you get one good, like, rare item, but, like, just like Borderlands, a lot of it's, like, common, uncommon weapons that you're never going to use. A lot of them are the same weapon with slightly different stats. Most of it I just broke down for, like, parts and shit to, like, help enhance, like, my one good, like, sword that I actually do have and stuff. So, yeah, it just feels like they took a lot of elements from a lot of other games, but not the best elements, and kind of threw them all. Like, the suits of armor and stuff look cool. All of them basically do the same thing, though, just a little different. Like, one does fire damage, one does poison damage, one does, like, they all just do a slightly different set of, like, damage, but the, like, your stats, one suit's not inherently better than the other, so it's pretty much just cosmetic, and then, like, whatever attribute damage you really want to do, because your equipment is basically what's causing, like, your damage and defense, your amulets, your weapons, your, and you have a shield, and you throw it like Captain America, which is the whole God of War thing with throwing shit. And that's cool when you do that, but then it has to recharge, and there's, like, a delay that comes with the shield, because it has to, it almost does the, I heard a lot of people complain about, like, Red Dead Redemption, how everything has an animation to it, like, getting on your horse, you have to go through this whole animation cycle or whatever, and, like, doing stuff. The shield's the same way. When you pull out the shield, it's not just, like, oh, block, like in Dark Souls. You have to, like, do this big thing, and it does, like, this Iron Man, like, do thing out, and then you take the stance, and then you're protected. So there's, like, a delay to it actually blocking damage. And so there's
every time I see things like that, I'm always like, who was the guy when they were making the game that was like, yeah, that's fun?
Well, yeah, do that. That's my thing, is a lot of this, I feel like if they played, like, quality assurance, like, extensively, they would have been like, this isn't fun. Like, how do we fix this? And because that's my thing. There's times where I'm fighting, like, the big berserker thing, and I go to block, and I still get hit because, like, the animation didn't finish playing or, like, whatever. Yeah. So it's, like, I want to – when I see, oh, he's about to attack, I go to do it, but it's, like, the timing – it's, like, I would have to be preemptively blocking to stop the attack, which I'm, like, if I'm in the middle of combat, that's not going to happen. So I wholeheartedly can't recommend spending $70 on the game. I mean, I'm already did it once, and I'm going to end up doing it again just because – that was one of the whole points, was I wanted to actually
No, Justin, no. The move is sell Godfall and don't buy it again and grab something else. Like, that's that you don't, you've just spent,
you double down 10
minutes telling me that this is 2010's game of the year. Unfortunately, we're in almost 2021 now. And the move is not double down. Like, no, it's not getting better, Justin. It's,
I know.
Like, it's time to just, like, cut. This is where you cut losses. You realize the sunk cost. You get 50 of your 70 back. And you just move on with your life. Like, you know?
That's what I've been playing. And so that's what's funny is, like, out of the three, like, I mean, Demon Souls is dope, but I'm, like, honestly kind of, like, hardcore on Bugsnax now. Like, I'm, like, which I did not think I was going to be, like, PS5 Bugsnax. That's, like, the go-to. But from what I've played so far on the PS5, I mean, as dope as Demon Souls is, I'm, like, Bugsnax has been, like, the funnest thing I think I've played on it.
Yeah, and that's, I think, everybody's, like, little sleeper hit is, like, the one that they were on the fence about, or, like, they wanted to play but didn't really know much about it. So, you know, I want to play Bugsnax too. So, I mean, we'll see when I get around to it.
Yeah. Sell Godfall and get Miles Morales. Come on.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Because my thing is, like I said, like, I do want Miles Morales, but, like I said, it's not my PlayStation, so Megan would have to buy, because if she wants to buy it digitally or physically, like, whatever. So
did you get the digital version of the PlayStation 5?
No, Megan has the physical version.
Yeah, so, but you bought well, when you buy one, are you going to go digital or are you going to go with a disc?
So initially I wanted the digital version because I was like, I don't usually buy a lot of discs, like whatever. So with the whole Godfall thing, so I bought Megan Godfall for her birthday or like whatever, because, you know, games on PS5 like that, the two she wanted were Demon's Souls and Godfall. My mom bought her Godfall for Christmas. So the game has already been bought twice now. She already owns it, though. My problem is I don't own a PS5, so she's going to be getting Godfall no matter what on Christmas, even if she owns it. And I was like, if I end up with a physical PS5, then I will also have a copy of Godfall. But if I end up with the digital, I am going to end up just having to, like, sell the at least the other Godfall, because I will not be able to actually play the other Godfall. I'm going to end up sending it to Zach is what's going to end up happening. And then you'll be forced to get a PS5. And then you're going to sell it. And you're
I'm willing to sell it. It'll be fine.
That's awesome. All right.
So, Shannon, what have you been playing?
So I picked up Immortals Fenyx Rising this week for the Nintendo Switch. And I will tell you that that is the game, that is the Breath of the Wild game I wanted and got and am now getting in a different package. So Ubisoft makes this game. It is a story about I think his name is Therion. He's basically like the last Titan. He's murdering all of the gods. Zeus and Prometheus are the last two gods left alive. Everybody else has been essentially murdered. And so Zeus comes to Prometheus and says, look, like, you're the god of like the future and the past. Like, you can see all the time streams, like, help me beat this guy. And he goes, look, like, the gods aren't the type of people that are going to kill him. You have to rest your faith in humanity. Zeus is like, god, like, humans suck. Like, I hate them. Like, they're basically just like a pestilence that I can't get rid of. And Prometheus is like, yeah. Prometheus is just basically like, hey, let me tell you this story. If at the end of the story, your faith in humanity hasn't been restored, you can basically double down on my punishment. But if the humans save your ass, basically you have to let me go, and you have to realize that humans are not as much of a waste of skin as you think they are. So basically the whole thing is kind of taken from like a Prometheus is the storyteller. It's very tongue in cheek as far as like a lot of the dialogue goes. It's very kind of like witty, or they try to be, I should say, witty. Like a lot of like quips and jokes that just kind of fall flat. But for the most part, like the mechanics of the game is exactly like Breath of the Wild, except the armor that you have doesn't deteriorate. The weapons that you have don't break. And you basically climb up onto really high points, like Assassin's Creed style. But instead of doing like a whole like canvassing thing where like they let you, you just hit like one button and it shows you all of the key points. The annoying thing about this is once you climb up there, you have to go into like eagle vision, and then you have to spend time like kind of surveying yourself, like the whole area, to kind of look for the chests or to look for the areas where you're going to get your powers or, you know, any other tchotchke along the way. As far as the story goes, there is one story. There is like, I haven't gotten to any side stories yet where there's any side quests. Basically anything you want to do in the game is just to enrich your game playing experience, but you don't have to go look for the chest, you don't have to go kill like the other, you know, sub bosses or whatever that's around. It is going to make the game easier for you. It makes you stronger. It gives you like basically what you're doing through the game is you're stealing Zeus's lightning, which gives you more stamina and more strength. The character doesn't level up, so basically it's just the gear that you're increasing, you know, with the exception of like the stamina and you know, the lightning bolts, which increase your strength and your which is your life points and your stamina. Everything else is pretty much up to you to choose. So I'm having fun with it. I'm like 4 hours in. I've only really uncovered like two areas on the map, and that if you look at the map is huge. I haven't really counted how many like different locations there are, but I'm having a good time. Like essentially within like the first hour, you get the sword, you get the axe, you get the wings, and I think you get the bracers. So there's like four weapons you get like right out the gate that really kind of make the game fun. It was weird getting used to having my attack button be like the right front bumper. And then like my heavy attack being the right back trigger, like between the two, like those were kind of hard to get used to. Usually I'm used to having them be one of the face buttons for my attacks. But other than that, like, I like the game. Like I said, this is the Breath of the Wild game that I wanted. Like, you know, when Breath of the Wild came out, and this is, you know, how long you had to wait to get it. So if you're on the fence about getting it, I would say if you like Breath of the Wild and you don't want to do any of the crafting and you don't want to have to worry about your weapons breaking, this is the game for you.
That means this might be the game for me. I'm intrigued now.
You know, I honestly think that you should get it. I think you would like it a lot because you don't have to do any of that like bullshit stuff. You basically just get to go around and just murder things as you go. The one thing I would say is typical of like the Breath of the Wild, you can get into a spot where there is shit that will like one hit kill you, and they're just going to let you go there. So, you know, you're going to find out real fast that, hey, I can't go over here right now, you know? And you know, it's forgiving as far as, when you die, you basically just get reanimated in the, like, you at your last, like, little save spot. And you lose maybe like, depending on your health, like how much health you have at the time, it's broken up like initially into like thirds. So if you fall off a ledge or you die, you basically just lose a third of your life, and then you're basically back in the game running around again. Your load screens are kind of like this mini game kind of thing where you're flying with the wings, and there's like these crystals that are flying at you, and you basically just fly around and grab them to help you build up your weapons. But you know, the load screens aren't that long. Typically, I've found it's the load screens are longer going into the open world than they are going into the mini maps. And even then, it's not by much. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it right now. And I think this is the game I'm going to play until I get into Cyberpunk. So,
sweet.
That's all I got to say about it.
Sounds like a game I might pick up off of a sale here in the next month or two. Because it seems like one that's probably going to go on sale sooner than later.
Yeah,
I mean, like, probably not deep discount, but maybe $10 or something, you know.
Yeah, so. I definitely see that being like a as the Christmas season, as the Christmas holidays get closer, it dropping in price.
So I'm interested in it. Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else, or has that basically been it?
No, that's all I've been. I mean, I played Pikmin, the Pikmin 3 game for the Switch, their remake of it, the Wii U version. It's a Pikmin game.
Yep, sure is.
I wasn't clamoring to play it. And you know, Immortals has pretty much taken over my Switch game time now. So That's what I'm playing.
Awesome. Well, the time has come. We finally are all caught up on some Mandalorian, which I am excited to talk about. Now, if you are not down with some Mandalorian spoilers, we are going to go full on heavy spoiler territory here. So if that is not you, you do not want that, then I will say thank you very much for checking out That Pixel Life, and hope to see you again next week. But if you want to get in on this action, please hang out with us, and we are going to spoil the hell out of the Mandalorian season so far. So we're going to start now. Gentlemen, Mandalorian. This season started kind of bad. It was losing me. And all of a sudden, Jedis show up and we get Grogu's name and fucking Boba Fett shows up in Slave 1. And like, these last two episodes have been like, what in the fucking hell has happened here? This show has gone off the rails in all of the best ways. And I for one am here for it. What has been your take of this season so far?
Justin, why don't you go first?
I mean, I think I've said it before, but I've honestly really liked this season so far. Like, I really dug kind of the, like, one-off episodes of go to this planet, like, fuck with this. Like, you know, I mean, the whole, like, transporting, like, the eggs and stuff. Like, I didn't really, like, necessarily care about that. I figured that was just ends to a means. But, like, going to the ice planet with the spiders and everything. But, no, you're completely right. Dude, these last two episodes, like, the fact that now I'm sure Robbie's, like, somewhere right now, like, adrenaline pumping, you know. I mean, they're bringing up, like, the Jedi and what's her name? Ahsoka, I think that's her name, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. girl Jedi from Clone yeah. Wars. Yeah. Dude, her making her, like, live-action appearance and stuff, like, that whole fight was bad. I knew immediately, I'm like, dude, they're going to end up teaming up and, like, taking this bitch down. And so... I wish the name Grogu was cooler. Like, I thought it was weird yeah. that, like, it wasn't a Y name, like Yoda or the other thing that's like Yoda that also had a Y name.
Yaddle. Yaddle.
Yeah. So I mean, think everyone it's was no,
it's no Count Dooku, but then what is?
You know? Exactly. Like, that's an intense name. And then this last week, you know, you got Yoda force choking stormtroopers and stuff, little Grogu, I was like, dude, he's going down the dark side. He's going to do it.
Well, I mean, so. They even said it, you know, like when in the previous episode, they were like, you know, his fear of losing you is going to outweigh his ability to use the Force. And he's always going to, I mean, if he goes down the path, he's going to be on the dark side. I kind of thought that was a bummer. You know, it was kind of like a way to prolong the series because now they're like, okay, well, now you're going to find another Jedi who's, you know, supposedly got more experience that's going to, like, try to correct the path that you're on and, you know, change his behavior. But I thought the first episode in season two was dope, like, taking down that huge-ass, like, worm thing that, like, you know, it's kind of funny when, like, people are like, well, I've never heard of an empty Sarlacc pig and pit, and people are like, well, you know, if something eats the Sarlacc, you should be worried, you know? So I was just like, okay, this thing's badass. And I do like the fact that they teamed up with the Sand People, you know, Grogu.
And then you get to see Boba Fett put in that work with those staffs.
Oh, like, dude, like, dude, that yeah. guy just jacked people up.
He murdered that stormtrooper helmet. Like, I was like, dude, that dude's head's like a watermelon in that fucking thing. Like,
and you know, the funny thing is, in all of the Star Wars fiction that exists on screen, that's the first time you really get to see Boba Fett, like, go ham on fools. Mm-hmm. Like, he flies in he's like standing by a table, he flies into a Sarlacc pit, and that's like kind of end of list of like this badass from across the galaxy, like, people fear his name and whatever, and it's like, yeah, this guy looks like a jackass. But then, like, it's like, oh, wait, that's Boba Fett. Oh, wait, he just murdered, like, this clown car full of stormtroopers right in front of yep. us. Like, oh, okay, maybe he is that badass.
And then they flew away, and he, like, shot them both down, like, out yeah. of the fucking sky, like, with yeah, each other.
The dude was like, nice shot, and he was like, I was aiming for the other one. And yeah. like, you know, there was that little, like, quip of humor. But yeah, dude, when he comes down in that armor, and he, man, he just wrecks shop. Like, it is... like one of those heavy, heavy moments where you're just like, damn, mm-hmm. this dude is somebody to be worried about. But yeah, I think, you know, it was pretty interesting. The episode, like you were mentioning before, like, it was kind of a bummer that the show was 28 minutes long. And I agree with you, Justin. Like, I didn't even put that together. Like, I was just like, wow, this episode ended, like, really fast. Like, and I just thought it was because there was a lot of action going on. This is probably one of the more action-heavy episodes I've seen. So I was really surprised that it just ended. And I was like, wow. I was like, that was a really fast, like, 45 minutes. So thanks for telling me that I'm a really bad character of time. But yeah, like, I wonder where they're going to go with this, like, what the Jedi, which Jedi is going to reach out and come back into the fray.
Yeah. If it's kind of, it's one of those two. Cause, like, Mando's at the point now where he's obviously putting together a team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I like the pitch in the show, like, from the Planet of the Week, you know, random little side journey show that it was to start the year. I like that it's gone to the, like, Okay, we're flipping the script now. Shit's getting real serious. So let me get Fennec and Boba Fett and Kara, and I'm going to break two dudes out of prison. Let's get Bo-Katan back on this team, and let's go get this guy. Like, and it's one of those, like, okay, I'm down for that. Like, let's put the team together, and let's go. Like, I'm super down. And that's the thing now is, you know, there's this mystery Jedi that's going to show up at some point. Because, you know, Yoda was on that long distance call for 26 minutes, basically, of this episode. And someone's going to show up, you know? So it's one of those, like, I'm dying to see who it is. I kind of hope they might just make someone up for this rather than pull from... But they're pulling from Rebels and Clone Wars and all this stuff. So, I mean, it's probably going to be someone that exists in the canon, but I'm hoping it's a new person.
Well, yeah. I'm assuming it's going to be some, like, D-list, like, Jedi person that, like, someone who read the Star Wars books or something's like, it's him! Like, you know, right. It's like some, like, reference. I'm sure someone Robbie knows.
I was going to say, but enough about Robbie, you know.
Yeah. Dude, I kind of hope they get the other Mandalorians involved in this, like, heist mission, too. Like yeah, all the characters they've kind of been bringing in so far, I hope they all kind of, like, you know, the dude who was wearing Boba Fett's armor, like, I'm like, dude, bring him in, like, bring everyone in, get this, like, team of 10 versus, like, your best.
And it's totally, because it's like, yeah, this team of, like, the Island of Misfit Toys here, like, they're all, I mean, shit, the three of them, Fennec, Boba Fett, and Mando, cleared out, like, two squads worth of stormtroopers by themselves. You know, so it's like, all right, let's see what, when we toss a couple more people into this mix, what happens. So, dude,
well, I thought that was so funny too when he's like standing there and she's like, you know, he's like, I need this person like busted out of jail, and she's like, oh, I'm going kind of by the books now, I can't do that, and he's like, they took the child, and she's like, you son of a bitch, I'm in. Like,
yeah, they totally took
the child, like, fuck the law, like, the child has been stolen.
It was totally the meme of, like, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I have one for you, though. What about a little Cal from Jedi Fallen Order? What if Cal comes in as the Jedi that shows up?
That would be, interesting kind of twist and stuff, you know? I was, like, pulling from the video game universe.
Yeah, because his timeline is right around now. You know, like, the Fallen Order time in the between, you know, Jedi and all that, it's about now. So I'd be down for some Cal. I like Cal. He's a cool character. So, and I bet that actor is pretty cheap.
I know, I'm still trying to figure out, like, what they're trying to do with Grogu. Like, I don't know if they're trying to make, like, human kind of clones or something that can, like, use the Force, or, like, to make, so, like, their own army of Jedi kind of thing.
My first thought when I saw that there were, like, the cloning chambers there was that was the tie-in for either them making Snoke or bodies for the Return of the Emperor, was my guess.
Okay.
That was, like, the first thing I thought of was, like, oh, this is, like, the beginning stages to bring the Emperor back. Or something like that.
Because, yeah, that was, like... And then, like, he obviously made, like, some sort of... Like, the fact that, you know, his lightsaber is kind of weird. Like, it's not, like, an actual lightsaber. It's, like, this weird, like...
The dark sword. Saber.
Yeah, and it's, like, they're making... I'm sure somewhere in lore... Something exists about this that I feel like I should know or something, but I was like, I don't know, like, why it's different than a lightsaber. But
well, it's, you know, if Robbie were here, I'm sure he'd be yelling at all of us about it. But the apparently it was like this super. It was from like the planet that Darth Maul came from, and it's like as old as time itself or something like that, and. One of those, like,
original lightsaber kind of thing.
Yeah, one of those, like, from the depths of time weaponry. And who knows? Like, I'm sure there's, like you said, I'm sure there's an entire, you know, entire server of Wikipedia dedicated to this lore that I don't know, but
it's funny because like last night, was it last night? Like we were watching Force Awakens again, and mm-hmm. it was funny because like as I'm sitting there like watching, I'm like I was like, man, they never really explain why Kylo Ren has like a weird lightsaber. I'm like, only him and Darth Maul have different lightsabers than everybody else. Like nobody else has a unique lightsaber.
Yeah.
So I was like, no one's ever explained like how or why they ended up with like unique weapons and like nobody else ever did.
Well, I know Kylo Ren is, and see, this is the type of shit. Like I couldn't tell you what I paid in taxes last year, but I know Kylo Ren's lightsaber has the like side exhaust thing because his crystal's cracked and it like literally needs exhaust ports on it. That's why it has the two like coming out the side that make it a traditional sword look.
How do you know that though?
Fucking osmosis. I don't even know, dude. Like I just picked that shit up over the years. But yeah, they don't talk about it in the movie at all. Like, bro, why is your lightsaber all messed up? You know?
Like why is it like leaking out everywhere?
Yeah. Like have you tried getting one that isn't a piece of shit? Like I mean,
I'm sure somewhere on that ship they got some duct tape or something. You can throw that bad boy and fix it.
But no, I also from last night's episode had the sinking sensation of there's only like three episodes left.
Yeah.
And that kind of bummed me out because like I'm like it's starting to get really really good and I'm all the way in and it's like and it's over. Damn it. So Shannon, do you have thoughts?
No, like I great. Just. I mean, you guys have already said everything that I was going to say. I mean, it just I can't wait for like this Breakfast Club group of like people to go just ham on that whole like little, you know, makeshift rebellion or Imperial fleet. I would like to see Ahsoka come back and, you know, wreck shop with the team of people. But who knows, you know, if that was just kind of like a one shot thing. It kind of pissed me off that like they mention her in like the second episode and then the third episode is just like a total like blue balls like moment where you don't even get to see her. Like it's just another like planet like mission. And then, you know, you have and then you get to see her in like the next episode. But it's just yeah, it's I'm looking forward to the other episodes that are coming up and I just hope that you know there's a good resolution because it kind of seems like even with the first season you know they rushed like to get the android and everybody set up for that final scene on mm-hmm. that planet with the android the assassin android and everything. I kind of think that they'll do the same thing, like every season is kind of like a build up to like a big battle and then the next season is just kind of like a moving on from that jump point. So hopefully I'm hoping to end on a big note.
My thought is this season is going to end with getting the band together.
Mm-hmm.
Like the next three episodes are going to be like putting all the pieces together. And then next season is going to be, now we got to find this dude and get our kid back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe they fucking blew up his ship. Like, that shocked me. Like, when his ship just, like, boom, I was like, whoa! Like, they totally,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
His ship, like, was already, like, damn near destroyed at, like, the beginning of the season. And then now I'm like, there's, like, three pieces left of it that he, like, was staring at on the ground, and that was it.
Yeah, but he found that ball.
And it's hilarious because, like, yeah, this whole season, his ship has been, like, a running theme. Of mm-hmm. oh, it gets the crap kicked out of it. Oh, but they patch it back together. Oh, it got the crap kicked out of it again. Well, now it's got fishing nets and wire holding it together, but it's still doing it. And then it's like, oh, it got all the way back together. Okay, now we're rocking and rolling. Boom.
Done. Right. That's why I'm like almost kind of expecting that like Boba Fett's just gonna like give him his ship, so then he's gonna have like the old school ship, and he's gonna like at the last episode, you know, like Baby Yoda is going to be sitting in the front with them, and he's going to be sitting there, and there's going to be like the little thing. He's going to take the knob off the other thing, fucking like throw it out the window, and put his knob like on the thing that he took.
You're right. You're writing a good script there, Justin.
Thank you.
So, Boba Fett, is he going to is he going to live in the canon? Do you think he's going to move on? Or do you think he's gonna, this is like his swan song. He's going to go out like saving Grogu.
This show has been so successful. It wouldn't shock me at all if we get like the Boba Fett Chronicles that start up after this, the Ahsoka Chronicles, like let's just keep all these characters getting their own side offshoots, you know, like it would not shock me in the slightest with how popular all this is.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're gonna kill him. I think they're gonna end up rescuing the baby, and he's like, the debt's been paid, and then he's gonna disappear like into the fog.
Totally. But after watching him kick ass and take names for one episode, I'm here to see a lot more of that. Like, let's keep that train rolling. So
well, yeah, I'm kind of hoping like season three or whatever, like he like ends up going to like the other planet or whatever with like all the rest of the other Mandalorians and kind of finds out that like, oh, the people who raised me were like the fucking crazy ones or whatever, and like learns like more about them, like meets other Mandalorian people.
Yeah, I'm just super excited. Like I said, the season was losing me. Like the planet of the week thing had become a little tired. Like I was a little like, yeah, we get it. The kid's cute. These creatures are weird. Like, okay, like what else you got? And then they're like, oh, what else do I have? All of this bullshit here. Boom, take it. Just keep. I'm like Homer in that episode of Simpsons where the devil keeps feeding him donuts. And he's just like more, hump, hump, more, hump, hump, more. Like,
I just want to know what like this Beskar is made out of, because I was always under the impression that nothing could stop a lightsaber once it got close, and like now you're seeing that the Beskar armor is like. The dude's like, I mean, the dude is a human shield now, and and like that that lance, everything in the ship is vaporized except for the lance. So like, yeah. What is this crap?
Yeah, I'm like, bro, like if I was like Kylo Ren in fucking episode 9 and shit, I'd be like, why the fuck are you wielding around lightsaber? You could just get a fucking metal fucking pipe and just bludgeon all the fucking Jedi to death. But
they're all trying to block you and you're like vroom, right through it.
Yeah, like get fucking, like you can use the force, bro, like fucking Thor's hammer that fucking shit everywhere. Like what is gonna stop that? Nothing.
But yeah, good stuff. I'm excited to see the rest of it. I wish it was Friday already for multiple reasons, but also so I could watch a Mandalorian. But I think that's a show, gentlemen. So Justin, why don't you go ahead and take us out?
You know what, guys?
Why'd you have to leave your tongue out that whole time?
What? Jeez. That got creepy. That got
real bad. I was pulling a Miley. Yeah, you guys couldn't see it, but I was totally pulling a Miley.
When he swung in naked on the wrecking ball, that was just a little much.
But... yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode, this holiday-filled Jolly Holly episode. You know, it was great having Shannon back. We missed him last week.
I missed you too.
Oh, let's see, I missed him. You guys, it is not too late to also be submitting your entries for the Facebook cover photo for the group banner. Right now we're currently rocking the That Bacon Life one that I made, since nobody made one, but Jordan is on the train with it this time with that bidet life. I made all my hours of totally going to art school, made a King of the Hill banner with us and stuff.
It's pretty glorious. It's pretty glorious. King of the Hill one. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, so I'm very proud of that. If you want to check it out, you can do so. I posted it on the Discord where we like to shit talk, and Mike likes to tempt Shannon with sweet treats that his doctor is paying his, you know, second condo in Miami with. And you can also check it out on the Facebook group, which has had life restored into it thanks to Jordan for constantly posting video game news over there for us while we're actively avoiding Facebook for various reasons. And, you know, watch The Mandalorian if you're still here, because, you know, we kind of went into the Mandalorian talk. So if you stuck around for that, thanks a bunch. Give us a review on iTunes if you want. You know, 3-star, 5-star, you want to tell us what we're doing, you want Shannon to bring back the soundboard, you know, you want Shannon to wear a plastic bag on his head while he plays the Oculus, you know, let us know in the reviews. And if Robbie was here, Zach, what do you think Robbie would say right now?
Robbie would say, hey guys, Go be great.
He'd also say, like, guys, Ahsoka on the big screen.